More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, not so perfect parent. Do you ever feel like you're falling short as a parent? Well, who doesn't? We're going to give you the practical tips and insights you need to hit the mark and regain your confidence. 877-573-7825. Grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, not so perfect parent. Hey, that describes all of us, boys and girls. I mean, the fact
except
is...
except for God Himself.
Well, that's right, our Heavenly Father. But other than that, all of us are works in progress. We're all learning, we're all trying to do our best. And if you, today or in general, are feeling a little like maybe you're falling shorter than you'd like, we want to give you the practical tips and insights you need to be able to hit that parenting mark and regain your confidence as and be the mom and dad God's calling you to be. 877-573-7825.
And as I have said here before, because it was my own personal experience, the days you feel like, I got this now. Look at me, I did it. Everything will change the next day because they will age. Circumstances will happen. You will feel differently. And we're building and building and building, very much like anything else we learn, right? Like if you're in school and you're, let's go way back for school for all of us. Let's say you're learning your times tables and they're just starting you out on times tables and it's anything times zero is zero. And you're like, this is easy. I got this. It's always zero. And then the next day they change it up. No, anything times one is itself. And you're like, okay, I have to just remember what itself is. Okay, but I can get this, and I got this. Then all of a sudden they start making it harder. And then you start getting up to like 12 times stuff. And
that's pretty much where they lost me.
They lost me at 10. Like I got to 10. I was maybe 11. I was pretty good at that. But it gets, you build, you learn, you get stronger, but there's always something new that's changing and making or helping us to grow a little bit. And parenthood is the same thing, except the world kind of hands you your child and says, okay, now do it perfectly now. You know, show off for all of us and don't mess up this kid.
At least that's how we feel it.
Good luck!
Right? Yeah, and that's how we feel about it. And the good news is that God isn't asking us to be perfect parents.
Mm-mm.
What is He asking of us? Well, we're going to unpack that in the course of the show. But give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about it. What do you find to be the hardest thing about parenting at whatever stage in your parenting career you're at? I mean, whether you're talking about littles, school-age kids, teens, or even adult kids. You are a parent forever in the order of Melchizedek. I'm a Catholic nerd joke, but you know, you get what my point. You know, you never stop parenting. You never stop feeling like you never stop worrying about your kids, right? So whatever stage your kids are at or whatever stage you're at in your parenting career, what do you find to be the hardest thing about parenting? Is it the discipline challenges? Dealing with your little ones' meltdowns? Your school-age kids' stubbornness? Your teens' defiance or attitude, or maybe even your adult kids' life choices? Maybe you're just feeling tired and burned out. Or it's got nothing to do with your kids. Maybe you and your spouse aren't seeing eye to eye on parenting in general, or
that
a specific
can throw everything off kilter,
right? Or a specific parenting challenge you're facing. Maybe you're just confused because everyone is giving you a different opinion on how to handle a tough situation with your kid. Whatever it is, parenting is a multi-layered complicated thing. And we want to help you uncomplicate it today on More to Life. Regain your confidence and give you the practical tips and insights you need to hit the mark. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. The show today on parenting, the not-so-perfect parent, which is kind of describing all of us. How do we do the job a little bit better and more confidently? 877-573-7825.
And I will add to better and more confidently in a way that you actually enjoy it.
Oh, there you go.
Because the world beats into our heads that we're supposed to do it perfectly, but we're also supposed to complain about it a lot because it's so hard. And sometimes we think we're supposed to be blissed out about it, but we're not, but we want to be. We can learn to really begin to enjoy our role as parents.
Yeah, and honestly, I honestly think that the more common message is that we're supposed to be miserable. We're supposed to hate parenting.
All the time.
All the time. And the idea that we can actually enjoy our kids and raising them is kind of a newsflash for a lot of people. So, but you can, and it all kind of comes down to the approach that we're going to be talking about here. And every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, how could some theology help me enjoy parenting more, be a more effective parent? You, I think, will be pleasantly surprised, because St. John Paul asked a huge question, right? When he was Pope, he basically said, you know, if we took everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about living a more abundant, grace-filled life and having healthier, holier relationships, especially in family life? And his answer to that question became what we all now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us, or perhaps teaches us for the first time, that parenting is more than just a set of techniques or strategies. It's a spiritual exercise for both parents and children. God designed family life to be a school of love and virtue, a place where we learn to love the way God loves, through self-giving. And that means the goal for Catholic parents is never pursuing perfection. It's building deep and loving relationships. When we measure ourselves against some imagined standard of the perfect parent, we're actually stepping away from the mission God gave us. Because the mission isn't to get everything right. It's to walk with our kids honestly and humbly, learning and growing alongside of each other.
Yeah, because, you know, we're all God's children, and we're all disciples, and we're all learning. We have a little more experience, hopefully, than our kids do, but we're still walking alongside of them. And as Catholic parents, we really need to think of our job not so much to have all the answers and run a smooth operation. Instead, we need to remember that God is speaking to us through our kids. You know, their needs, their struggles, even the moments that push every button we have, are actually invitations from God to grow in ways we'd never grow if it wasn't for the kids he gave us. You know, when we stop treating parenting like a performance that we're being graded on, and start treating it like a relationship that God is using to form our hearts and our kids' hearts, we can trade in all that guilt and pressure for a renewed sense of purpose.
And if you're listening right now, feeling like you're falling short as a mom or dad, somehow, don't let that be the source of condemnation and self-criticism. Recognize it more as a more hopeful invitation from the Holy Spirit, calling you to deeper love. Your kids don't need a perfect parent. They need a parent who is willing to keep learning and growing and helping them to learn and grow, to be people who are capable of having lovely, loving, godly relationships, first in your home and then in the world.
So, instead of beating yourself up for whatever you think you got wrong as a parent, or you're getting wrong as a parent, take some time to pray. You know, Lord, help me be the parent my child needs me to be today. And help us work together to grow closer to each other and you. You know, that prayer offered every day, especially in those tough moments, is, I think, what can help turn family life into that school of love and virtue the church says it's supposed to be. Not by getting everything right, but by asking God to teach us as we go.
So if you're just starting out, or you're saying, I raised them, I got grandkids now, how do I still be effective in any of this? Is there anything I can do? Or my kids aren't having kids and life choices are weird, can I still have an effect in their lives? Absolutely you can, because as you were saying, Craig, we never stop parenting and we never stop being part of that school of love. So no matter what age or stage you're parenting through, we are here for you today on More to Life. The number's 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. What do you find to be the toughest part about parenting these days? Whatever parenting stage you're in or whatever stage your kids are in, we want to help you make it easier and help you be a more confident Catholic parent. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we ask you to help us be the parents you're calling us to be. Not perfect parents, because you are the only perfect parent. But parents who have your heart and who, instead of trying to apply lots of techniques and strategies to manipulate our kids into goodness, to build relationship with our children that captures their hearts and enables us to give their hearts to you. Help us to be in conversation with our kids, to be willing to hear what you're trying to teach us through our kids, so that by building that kind of relationship, we can bring out the best in each other and draw closer to you and each other and live the real mission of Catholic parenting, which is being and raising disciples to love and serve you. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Not So Perfect Parent. Pretty much describes all of us, right? It's a on-the-job training. But if you feel like you're falling short in some way as a parent, we want to give you the practical tips and insights you need to hit the mark and regain your confidence. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Craig, we got a question here from Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska. And she said, she's not 3 years old. She said, I have a three-year-old daughter who has these massive meltdowns over things that seem so small to me, like her socks feeling wrong or her banana breaking in half.
Hey, when that happens, man.
Oh, I know. I've seen you just lose it over that. I try to stay calm, but by the third or fourth tantrum of the day, I lose it. I yell. Then she cries harder, and I spend the rest of the day feeling like the worst mom on the planet. My husband says I'm overreacting to her overreacting, which isn't helping me. Really? I've read all the parenting books about staying regulated, but in the moment, it's like everything I've learned just evaporates. I keep wondering if there's something wrong with her, or honestly, if there's something wrong with me. How do I stop losing my temper with my daughter and actually help her through these moments instead of making them worse? And that's Sarah in Nebraska. I want to point out something that's just, I think you and I are seeing it so much lately, Greg, whether it's here on the show, in the practice, or on the Catholic Home app. Three is the new two. Like, everybody is, for the last few months especially, but across the board, people are having the hardest time with their three-year-olds and regulation. And it's just, there's so much going on in a three-year-old's life that they cannot control, that we are seeing just such an uptick in parents going, why are they losing it?
Yeah, and I got to say, I mean, as you were reading Sarah's email, I don't know if this ever happened to you as a kid. And you know, I maybe listeners have seen reels about this, but you know, when I was growing up and I was the kid who was the melting mm-hmm. down kid, what I always got was, I'll give you something to cry about.
That was a sort of generational thing, plus that's just your mom's personality.
Yeah, well, so that never made anything easier for me. I was like, so I don't know, just brought that back for me.
But I think, you know, Here's the thing. There were every generation, basically, before the generation we've all raised and that we're raising now, were kind of shut down.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's trying to survive. We don't have time for your feelings. Go over there.
Yeah, exactly.
And now there's the insight of, okay, we do have to help our children deal with their feelings, learn to regulate, be acknowledged for being humans, and that's all beautiful.
But we have no skills to do it, right?
Well, it's hard to have the skills, and the expectation for ourselves as parents has gone sky high, as we will be perfect robots through this. We will have no reaction. Everything is on us to be perfect.
So let's walk through how to do this. Okay, so the number one thing to keep in mind here, okay, is that your 3-year-old doesn't have a lot of regulation ability. They can't get themselves back online, and in order to do that, like, think about how you get yourself back online whenever you're upset about something. You talk yourself through it. You're like, hey, Susan, you know, or excuse me, Sarah, you got this. It's going to be okay. You know, you walk yourself through the steps of, you know, I can solve the problem this way. If I do this, I'll feel better. If I do that, I can make a difference. So that requires self-talk. That requires your ability to connect actions and consequences and follow through. Your 3-year-old can't do any of those things.
Let me give you a perfect example of that, because you were joking when I read the section where Sarah was saying that, you know, when the banana breaks in half. And the funniest thing is, you are a very gregarious person. I kind of hold things in more. But I've seen you in the many, many years we've been married. When a banana does break in half, you go, oh. And you're fine, because you're able to do that whole dialogue in your head in a
sure,
split second.
Sure, well, now
second,
I have two bananas.
Right? Or whatever, however you think it through, whether it's I have two bananas or this is silly to be upset about or whatever it is, but you're able to process your internal dialogue very, very quickly, and you don't stamp and scream and break down on the floor over a half banana. But this person who's 3 is just dealing for the first time with the difference between expectation, I'm going to have this whole banana, to reality, my banana broke in half and now I feel bad about that and maybe even bad about myself for it. So we have to realize that our children don't have that self-talk yet, and that's part of what we're there to teach.
So
them.
Like, you know, you say, you know, Sarah, they're all silly, but basically what's happening here is she's learning to deal with the frustration that comes from when our expectations don't meet reality. And who doesn't deal with that on some level, right? You know, when our expectations don't meet reality, we all feel frustrated. We all kind of want to melt down. You know, her problems are little compared to ours, but it's the same issue. And you're helping her learn how to manage when expectation and reality don't go together. So what do you do? All right. So for the first thing is you recognize that there are going to be a lot of things that expectations and reality don't match up, because she's 3 and she doesn't have a lot of experience. She doesn't know that yet. Secondly, you need to kind of keep in mind, since she can't regulate herself, you are the external regulator, right? Think of like a, you know, how in surgery they use a machine to kind of circulate the blood because they have to, like, you know, stop the heart for a while or whatever. I'm not a surgeon, but it, you know, the machine does the breathing, or it does the circulating the blood. Well, you are the external regulator for your daughter. It's your job to help download your emotional state into her so that she can be re-regulated. And the reason I say that is because if it's like, oh my gosh, here she goes again, and you're just surprised that this happens, it's more frustrating than if you're able to say, you know what, as we go through the day, it's my job to kind of help her stay on track. And if she's losing it right now, that's okay. It doesn't mean something's wrong. It doesn't mean there's an existential crisis. It doesn't mean I have to melt down. It means that she's having a hard time regulating, and I'm that external regulator. I'm going to bring her close to me. We're going to breathe through it together. I'm going to rub her back. Maybe get a cold, you know, paper towel with some, you know, with cold water on it, and just
put it on the back of her neck.
And just help her to calm down, and then we'll move on. And the other thing I want you to say, you don't have to be prisoner of these feelings. Like, this is, you're not logical reactions to things. You don't have to talk her through it all. It's just a matter of helping her to calm down, and then suggesting what she can do with the thing. That's the so you know. you know, like if you make a mistake drawing something, you can turn it into something else, yeah. right? Well, the same thing is true here. What can we make of this? And I was joking about the banana thing. It's like, look, you have two bananas. Now, I know that's not good. I know that's not good conservation, but that's okay for a three-year-old. She didn't know what that means. So, you know, but whatever it is, you know, how can we take the thing that happened and turn it into something we can use, right? So you calm her
something
down,
even better.
Help her regulate, and then help her problem solve. And that pattern that you walk her through helps teach that lesson of learning how to manage those times in life when expectation doesn't meet reality. And that will carry her through well into her adulthood. Hey, Sarah, thank you so much for the question. Look, we deal with this kind of stuff all day on the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic HOM, stands for Catholic Households on Mission, where Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors provide parent coaching and tons of creative resources to really help you build a more loving, caring, connected domestic church life. Download the app today and get more support. Because any questions you've got, anytime, you can post them there and get the responses you need. So check it out, Catholic HOM. Download the app today. Hope to see you there. We got to go to break. When we come back, more with your questions about parenting today on More to Life. Stick around. We'll be back.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at avemariaradio.net. That's avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Not-So-Perfect Parent, which kind of describes all of us. And if you're feeling short, excuse me, if you're not feeling short, if you're feeling like you're falling short, I wish it was a little bit taller. If you're feeling like you're falling short as a parent, we're going to give you the practical tips and insights you need to hit the mark and regain your confidence. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Andrea, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey, Andrea, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, so just to kind of give you the Cliff Notes version, my youngest son, Hezekiah, he has been exhibiting some really bizarre behavior lately. He's been peeing in the trash can, so somewhere other than the toilet.
How old is he?
He's five. He's become a very picky eater. It's really difficult to get him to eat at home. Like, I've had some concerns, like, about him getting enough nutrition, but it's not like he's not gaining weight, but...
Let me just stop you for just a second, because I want to make sure that we're focusing on kind of one thing that we can really work, because you started, you told our screener this, that your five-year-old was kind of bullying his little sister, and now you're talking about peeing in the trash, you know. I'm not going to be able to solve all the problems here. So let's focus on one that would get you the most bang for your buck here.
Yes. So, like, what happens is that Hezekiah bullies his younger sister that he's closest to in age, and so his older
How young is the younger sister?
She's three. And okay. So his older brother, who's about to be seven next month, he comes and he'll hit him. And it'll be because younger sister has come to the oldest brother saying,
yeah.
He hit me.
Where are you?
In like an effort. Where am I? Well, here's the deal. I've either stepped away to go get them a drink, or, you know, I'm doing, you know, some type of like dishes, or, you know, I've run to the bathroom and I come back and this has happened.
Gotcha. Okay.
So even a few minutes of your eyes not being on him and him being in arm's reach can become problematic.
Right. Gotcha. And even dad can be there helping out. Like, he'll be washing dishes and I'll have, like, literally stepped away to either use the bathroom just in a short time or to go help, like, the baby, because we have five kids.
Okay.
And so this has happened.
Okay. And so, Andrea, let me. I got to jump in just because we have to hit our hard break. But I'm going to ask you to hang on over the break, and I got a couple other questions we want to ask you when we come back to sort of focus on this. But I'm going to ask if you could think a little bit over the break about a specific situation that might happen pretty regularly, where, you know, he's picking on his sister. You know, but like just ones, because we can generalize better from a specific scenario than it is easier to kind of give advice about a general thing to a specific thing. So if you could walk us through a specific scenario when we come back, just so we have a better idea of what that looks like, we'll walk through that, have a couple other questions, and be able to give you some advice on how to handle this. So hang on over the break, Andrea. And we are taking your calls, listeners, as well at 877-573-7825 on parenting on our show today, titled Not So Perfect Parent. Because we all feel like we fall short once in a while when it comes to parenting, whether our kids are little, school-age kids, teenagers, adult kids, whatever stage of parenting you're in, we want to help make your job a little easier and help you feel like the more confident Catholic parent God's calling you to be. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. We'll follow up with Andrea and take your calls as well when More to Life continues right after the break. Stick around.
What will eternal happiness, beatitude, be like? St. Augustine has a pleasant description. There we shall rest and see, we shall see and love, we shall love and praise. What will be at the end without end? For what other end do we have if not to reach the kingdom which has no end? The Catechism tells us, God put us in the world to know, to love, and to serve Him, and be with Him forever in heaven. The Beatitudes present us with clear moral choices. We are invited to avoid evil, to purify our hearts of evil, and to love God above all earthly things, none of which can bring lasting happiness. Lasting happiness can be found only in God, who is the source of every good and all love. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Ever notice how you can handle stress all day long and then one small thing at the wrong moment sends you right over the edge? Your kid asks you the same question for the fifth time. Your spouse makes an offhand comment, and suddenly you're reacting with an intensity that doesn't match the situation at all. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I explain that when this happens, it's not a character problem. There's a part of your thinking brain whose job it is to accurately sort your emotions so you can respond well. But when stress piles up faster than that part of your brain can process it, it stops sorting accurately. It starts labeling everything as a threat. Your thinking brain powers down, your fight or flight system kicks in, and you crash out. The good news? Brain science shows that the neural pathways responsible for emotional processing can actually be retrained with practice, the same way muscles get stronger with exercise. You don't have to keep living at the mercy of your reactions. For more tips on cultivating a healthier emotional life, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today's show is titled The Not-So-Perfect Parent, which describes all of us, because parenting is definitely a work in progress. We're all learning as we go. 877-573-7825. Call up and share. What do you find to be the toughest thing about parenting at your kid's age and stage, or your stage of your parenting career? 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Andrea from San Antonio, who is sharing that she's having some struggles with her five-year-old son. And particularly, she was focusing on him bullying his three-year-old sister. There are some other issues as well. We were focusing mainly on that. Andrea, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, thanks. So, you know, like I said, you were sharing a lot of different concerns, but I wanted to focus specifically on one thing so that we could really kind of walk you through it. And I'd asked if there was a particular scenario that maybe occurs pretty regularly where your son is bullying the three-year-old, and you know, and also just how you handle it right now, if you could just walk us through that so we have a better understanding.
So particularly the scenario that happens is that obviously little sister wants to spend time with him, and you know, she wants to emulate him, but he sees it as like, I guess, teasing, or he gets annoyed by it. And so, you know, essentially he will bother her. He will nag her back, and it's just a back and forth. And essentially, he reaches a breaking point and he either hits her or pushes her, then enters older brother to defend little sister. And so
how are you handling that now?
Well, I've taught my older son, you know, because he used to kind of be like that. I have taught him that, you know, real men protect women. They don't hit women. Correct. And so he understands.
And that's a good generic lesson. But like, how are you helping the 5-year old deal better with the 3-year old now? Like, what strategies are you using with the 5-year old?
So essentially, with him, it's your little sister. She loves you so much that she wants to be just like you. And I know it's
okay.
Going to feel.
I'm going to interrupt you. And that's fine. I get what you're doing. But that's a lecture. That's not really helping him learn any skills.
So yeah, I understand. I want to affirm you are trying to impart lifelong, eternal long messages into his heart and mind. That is laudable. But in the moment, and in the need to learn something, it's not helping him actually learn a new skill.
Because, I mean, the lesson that you're teaching is a perfectly fine lesson, okay? But in order for him to use it, he needs to be able to consistently connect actions with consequences. And his little 5-year-old brain can't do that yet.
And especially can't do it in the heat of the moment. So these larger lessons that you're teaching your children, especially your sons, bravo. Do those over dinner. Do those when you're talking in the car. Do those when you see that kind of thing happen in a book or a TV show and pause it and say, hey, look how important it is to X in this situation. Great, because everybody's regulated and can learn an actual message. In the moment of behavior that's dysregulated and inappropriate, that's when action and practice have to come into place instead of words.
So, and I'm going to ask you to think a little differently about parent, because I'm not making some assumptions here, but most parents think that if we just punish the kid or give a consequence, then they'll figure out the right thing to do. Kids this age, they're still learning the right thing to do, right? So your job is to teach any of the skills that are lacking. So if the 3-year-old, you know, takes a toy from him, and he gets aggravated and bops her on the head, right? You're going to pull that. You're going to pull. Well, first of all, you're going to comfort the 3-year-old, right? And have him kind of just sit there in a place where he can be by himself while you're comforting the kid. It's not officially a timeout. It's just you're giving him some space over there while you take care of the three-year-old. Then you're going to come to him and say, all right, it is frustrating when your sister tries to take your toy. Let's practice how to handle that. And so what you want to be able to do is give him some examples. Okay, how you can say, can you play with this? Or I can give you this. And you know,
right,
I,
so you're saying find something that she'll like as well and trade her for it so you can get your toy back. You know, I just did this with our littlest ones last night. Take this, you know, take one grab from the other. Okay, instead of freaking out, give your brother this other toy and see if he'll trade with you. Or realize he's only going to play with it for a couple minutes and then you can trade and get it back. So you're teaching the older one to kind of engage in a thoughtful process that makes him, you know, older.
But you're not just telling him this, you're actually role-playing it. So you're going to be the three-year-old.
Exactly.
And you're going to role-play it where you take the toy, and then you have him walk through the steps of showing you how to handle that appropriately. And then you say, okay, and if that doesn't work, you always come and find mommy or daddy. I know you're going to want to hit. When you feel that feeling that you want to hit, what you need to do instead is come find mommy or daddy and ask for help. So because what he's doing, all the other things you described, you know, the peeing and the trash thing, those are all called merging behaviors. That's a way of getting mom and dad to come in and pay attention to me. It's not just a seeking attention. It's a cry for help. It's saying, I don't know how to handle the stuff that I'm having to handle.
And it's also
saying,
I need
you guys to help me figure that out.
It's like the trash can thing again. It's okay. Mom and dad are going to need to stop their world and focus on what I just did. So I'm going to get isolated attention for this behavior because they turned their backs for a minute. So you want to, you know, go there and make him, you know, work with him so he cleans out the trash can. And then you can practice him getting to the bathroom and all of those things.
I'm sorry, when you say clean out the trash can, we don't mean get a paper towel and wipe out the pee or anything. Like, you just, like, take the garbage bag out of the can and throw it in the proper can. He'll walk with you to the garbage can outside.
Right, whatever needs to be done. Right. Yes. So, but you also want to say, okay, what we're hearing here is this kiddo needs a bit more attention, a bit more one-on-one time in positive ways, and to learn some skills and practice them with us over and over till he gets them down.
So the lessons you're trying to teach are great, but in the moment, they're more lectures than teaching, right? So you want to actually walk him through the steps of how does he handle this situation. You're going to role play the part of the, you know, the three-year-old or whoever it is and practice it, and maybe even bring the two of them together and have them walk through it together. So the three-year-old starts learning how to ask for things instead of just taking them, or how to play appropriately with the five-year-old instead of just doing what comes naturally to a three-year-old. So the whole point here is you're discipling your kids. You're teaching them how to manage these situations, not just by telling them, but by actually getting into their muscle memory, walking them through the steps of handling the thing better.
And I want to say, with the oldest brother, you want to be saying to him, all right, you see something like this happening, you can stand between your brother and your sister, but you immediately call for mom or dad. You don't hit anybody. It's not just women. You don't hit anybody. You're not the parent, although we appreciate you having eyes on this situation, but your eyes are there to make your mouth call us.
Yeah, so because even that lesson about, you know, you know, men protect women, that's true, but a seven-year-old is going to interpret that as, well, then I have to go smack my brother around. Mm-hmm. You don't want to set him up to be another parent. You want to set him up to say, okay, mom, dad, come help, right? Because it's you guys' job to intervene in those situations and help them all navigate it better. So now it comes to this point in the conversation where the parent says, well, but I don't necessarily know what to teach them to do to handle the three-year-old better. I don't know. If you take a few minutes and really think through what you want them to do, trust your gut on that, okay? But if you really are stuck, that's what the Catholic Home app is for, right? We provide parent coaching all day long on the Catholic HOM app. It stands for Households on Mission. Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors are on there. There are tons of creative resources that you can use, downloadable activities, our podcasts, regular live stream events. You can get all the support you need to really change your mindset on this and start being a more effective teacher to your kids instead of a lecturer. Andrea, your heart's in the right place. You got a lot of good ideas. I hope that this call will help you connect some of those dots. And if you need more support going forward, I'm really going to encourage you to become part of the Catholic Home community. That's Catholic H-O-M. You can download the app wherever you get your apps and really get the support you need to address these all the kinds of situations that you're talking about here. Thanks so much for the call. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Our show today on parenting, titled Not So Perfect Parent, because none of us are perfect parents. And we're all struggling to learn how to do it better. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. This comes to us from Colossians chapter 2, verses 23 and 24.
Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, and not for the world.
We pick this scripture today because it reminds us as parents that, you know, there are a lot of different goals to parent toward. And we all have a tendency to kind of parent toward kind of worldly goals, honestly. You know, I want my kids to be successful. I want my kids to be popular. None of those things are bad. None of those things are bad. But often we lose sight of what God's really calling us to, which is to parent kids to be able to be in relationship.
Yeah, those things aren't bad as long as they don't become an idol. And when we say popularity or success is my main goal, that takes God off of where he should be and puts those things on an altar in your life.
Well, and it even plays out in small ways. Like, you know, the kids are so involved in different activities that we don't have time to be a family.
Exactly.
Right? And that's not what God's calling us to. And yeah, I know that's countercultural, but being Catholic is countercultural. And one of the most effective ways that we can even evangelize the culture and benefit in our own family relationships is by not being so overscheduled that we can't spend time together as a family. Because that's what God's calling us to build relationship and to remind the world of the importance of close relationship. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for the world. Colossians 2, verses 23 and 24. Well, when we come back, more with your calls on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about parenting today. Wherever you're at in your parenting career, whatever age your kids are, let us help you be a more confident Catholic parent and make it a little bit easier in the process, too. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sick. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, the not-so-perfect parent, which is all of us. We're all struggling to be better parents and learning as we go. But we want to help make your job a little easier. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
And I just wanted to let everybody know a rather recent new resource for everyone. Our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, are now available on Audible.
Ta-da!
So if you've been like, I want to hear more, but I don't have time to read, well, now you can just pop them in your AirPods and listen while you go. So they're there for you.
Check them out. Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, both available now on Audible. Check it out. We are taking your calls right now, though, at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maureen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Connecticut.
Hey, Maureen. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on? Maureen, are you there?
Maureen in Connecticut?
Yep. All right. Maureen must have stepped away. Maybe we'll come back to Maureen. We got Lisa listening in Pennsylvania. Lisa, welcome to More to Life.
Hello?
Lisa, we can... There you go. I could hear your car. I just couldn't hear you.
What's up?
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
We're losing you.
While you figure out the phone thing, you said that you babysit a couple's children and that the boy hits his sister all the time, and you don't agree with their parents parenting on this. So are you back with us? Do you what are the parents doing? I think we lost Lisa too. You there?
Oh, sounds like she drove through
okay.
a dead zone.
All right. Well, that's all right. So let's talk about this. So this is going to be the same kind of thing as we were just talking about with our previous caller. And, you know, as a babysitter, you don't have the authority to challenge the parents on this, right? So that's not really up to you to teach the parents to do something different. But when the kids are with you, you can adopt an approach that I think is similarly effective, right? So we were talking with, I'm sorry, the woman who just called before.
Andrea? Right there.
Yes, thank you, Andrea. You know, she was talking about her five-year-old being bullying to her, the three-year-old. It's all about rehearsing. It's all about teaching the kids how to handle the conflict better. So if the, you know, the boy hits his sister, it's the same kind of a situation that you're describing here. So bring first of all, make sure the sister's okay, comfort the sister, put the boy someplace where he can just be still and calm and over there.
Yeah, always attend to the victim first, because when we immediately rush in and work with the child that has harmed the other child, we're actually giving them what they want, which is a ton of attention from us. And the poor little victim sitting there crying, thinking, why are you attending to me? So always let them know the child who's been wounded is going to get, even emotionally, is going to get my attention. And you're going to sit over there and calm down. And I'll get to you when I have the time.
So then you handle that. You go to the boy, right? And you figure, what was the intention? What was the problem he was trying to solve by bopping his sister? You know, she was taking my toys. She was getting in my way. She was saying this frustrating thing. Whatever it is, okay? How do you want him to handle it differently? What could he say? What could he do? Don't give random things like go punch a pillow or whatever. But like, how could he actually interact with his sister to handle the problem? What is it that he should do or say to manage the situation better? You role play the sister. Let's practice this. I'm going to do the thing. Now you're going to do what I taught you to do. Let's practice this together. You might even bring the little sister over and have them practice it together and say, okay, guys, next time this happens, this is what you're going to do. The advantage of this approach is that, you know, you're not doing anything that any parent could possibly argue with, right? You know, you're as a babysitter, right? You're not challenging your parents' approach. You're not, you know, undermining their authority or any of that sort of thing. You're doing something different that's going to work better than probably whatever they're doing.
And you're going to keep both the kids safe, and their children are learning perfectly good social skills.
And then they say, Lisa, the kid seems so well behaved. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
And then you can say, well, you know, this is just how I handled it. And they took really well to it. And then the parents go like, oh, well, we didn't think of that. So you're able to kind of lead by example there instead of criticizing what they're doing or picking on their approach or making them feel, you know, incompetent or like, who do you think you are? You're just walking the kids through the steps of how to handle the problem so that they can be more effective. All right. Thank you so much for the question, Lisa. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. But for you, you know, or really any parent out there, okay? Almost all the parenting advice that we are given and have been given for, doing some math here, give me a second, almost 70 years, really, is rooted in behaviorism. Now, and I'm going to explain why that's important, okay? So Dr. Spock, back in the day, was influenced by a guy named B.F. Skinner, who is a behavioral psychologist.
And if you've ever taken a Psychology 101 course, you kind of cringe every time you hear about him.
So his book, B.F. Skinner's book, was Beyond Freedom and Dignity. And he said all this freedom and dignity and personhood and respect to people stuff, that's all nonsense. We don't need to do it. We just need to push buttons to make people do things so we can reward them or we can punish them, and then they do what we want them to do.
Now, let's just listen to that title for a second and what the hypothesis was, and you immediately know this is direct opposition to Catholicism,
right?
That believes in dignity and for the human person and a freedom to decide to worship God and be our best selves.
Well,
and
I mean,
not
Saint John
to
Paul's
be treated
big book
as
was,
an object.
St. John Paul's book was Love and Responsibility.
That's right.
Right, compared to Beyond Freedom and Dignity. Or even Pope Leo in his AI document talks about the dignity of the human person, and it has to be in the forefront, right? So most of the parenting advice we are given is rooted in this kind of behaviorist approach where we just push buttons, punish the kid, reward the kid, and then somehow that generates good behavior.
So we've had 70 years of everybody being treated like an object instead of a person.
The Catholic approach to parenting, and this is rooted in St. John Bosco's teaching philosophy, okay? It's all about relationship and discipleship. It's got nothing to do with manipulation and technique. I mean, technique comes into it, but it comes into it the same way that marriage techniques come in. Like, if somebody said to me, you know, oh, well, what techniques can I use to improve my marriage? And I said, well, you know, like how many times do I have to hug my wife today? How many tokens do I need to give my wife to get her to do what I want to do? That's missing the point, right? That's a behavioral approach to marriage, and it misses the point of relationship. Well, St. John Bosco talked a lot about, you know, we need to kind of disciple our kids. We need to walk alongside of them. We need to build relationship with them based on reason, religion, and loving kindness was his kind of three watchwords. So being an effective parent is all about teaching, teaching, teaching. When your kid is doing something wrong or dumb or destructive or frustrating, it's because they don't know what to do. It's not because they're being bad. It's because they genuinely don't know how to handle the situation. And it's our privileged position as parents to say, well, let's figure this out together. So you go to the kid and you help them calm down. And you say, all right, what put you in this place? What's the problem you were trying to solve? All right, well, let's figure that out. What could you do? What could you say? And not just random stuff, like actually stuff that would actually help the kid express that emotion or navigate that challenge with their sister or deal with it. And then you role play it. Because it's not enough to tell them what to do. They need to get it into their muscle memory. Like if a teacher told me, okay, here's how you multiply 12 times 700. They told me, but they didn't walk me through the steps. I don't know.
And they didn't make me practice over and over and over again until it became part of my knowledge base.
So you know, an authentic kind of Catholic approach to parenting, especially, again, coming from St. John Bosco's approach to teaching and education. It's all about relationship and all about teaching. So as we're wrapping up the show, I just really wanted to hit this to help all of you kind of stop being programmed, to kind of deprogram yourself from thinking that kids are machines to be manipulated by pushing certain buttons or flicking certain levers and giving certain consequences, giving certain rewards. I mean, that can work to a certain degree.
Okay. But it's exhausting for parents. It breaks the relationship, so you don't feel edified by parenting when you do that. You're constantly trying to run around remembering, you know, what consequences you're using or what reward system you're using. And there's none of that connection and none of that reward for us as parents, as well as it being fairly ineffective for our children.
But if you're taking this approach that St. John Bosco recommended, then you're building a relationship and you're teaching. And that's really rewarding because it feels rewarding to have that connection with your kids. And it feels rewarding because you can see immediate improvement, Right? It's not just I'm going to throw out random consequences and hope that somehow the kid figures out how to be good now. It's no, I'm walking them through the actual steps of how to handle this situation. I'm giving them a chance to practice it, and I'm seeing that they light up when they see that they can get this right. They can get along with their sister. They can express a feeling without getting in trouble. They can solve the problem. Right? And so I recognize it's a very different approach. Like I said, we've all been programmed for 70 years to think that kids are machines that can be manipulated into goodness. And so it takes some re-education. And that's what all the stuff we produce is all about. The show, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, which are both now available on Audible, the Catholic HOM app, which actually holds your hand every day and gives you the parent coaching and creative resources you need to have this more teaching and mentoring mindset about parenting. So we're not just telling you what to do. We're walking you through the steps. We're kind of preaching for, or walking the talk right here, you know, mm-hmm. taking a chapter out of our own book, right? So if you want that support and you're tired of trying to manipulate your kids into being good and you actually want to have a relationship with them that makes them want to be good, check out the Catholic HOM app. Reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up and get you the resources you need to transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.